Deuce 9 has a visit locked in for the home opener.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Happy Tuesday. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Deuce Knight, after a period of quiet time, has locked in a visit to Auburn for the home opener. Very interesting timing. If you've been listening to this show at all, knowing that I've mentioned that the end of August was a time to kind of mark on your calendar. And then we're going to walk through the freshman commits, go through the fall camps for each one, very short and sweet, and talk about who's possibly up for a red shirt and sort of just kind of walk through, have a red shirt report, a freshman red shirt report. This is nothing official, just based off of what I've seen from camp and where they may be falling on the depth chart. But before we get started, you know we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with retirement results presented by Active Wealth. I was having a conversation last weekend with some folks out by the pool. They said they listened to the show, asked about Ford, and said, man, I wish we would have known about Ford before we got hooked up with our guy. He's a big Alabama guy. And I said, how do you know your money isn't going to Alabama's NIL fund? And their eyes lit up and said, you know what? You may be right. We need to give Ford a shout. You can guarantee your money doesn't go to Alabama's NIL if you reach out to Ford. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Get you that custom portfolio analysis. Let Ford walk through everything with you. Make sure you're on the right path. You'll make a good friend at the same time. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him I sent you. Believe it or oddly enough, there was a ton of Deuce Knight news yesterday. It's been quiet for quite a while. And if you listen to this show, if you're a member at thebarnauburn.com, that's not something that you were necessarily concerned about. Something that was expected, but it has been a little bit quiet. And then all of a sudden yesterday we got sort of a flood of Deuce Knight news. Starting right off is he took the, I don't know if it happened actually yesterday or the day before, but he took a lot of the Notre Dame stuff out of the headlines of his profiles on social media, which I think is a big deal. If you're on the Barn, this is not exclusive to the Barn. It was also elsewhere. But there was some before and after photos, especially of his Instagram, where, you know, it had Notre Dame tagged in his bio, and then now it's obviously removed. So that was one. Obviously got people stirred up. Oh, is it about to happen? Oh, is something about to happen? But definitely anytime he does something, it moves the needle right now, especially for Auburn folks. It's clear that there's some Auburn folks that have their eyes on him. Another thing that kind of showed its face yesterday is that I'm not exactly sure which commit it was, but there was a current big commitment that was having an Instagram live ceremony. And I think Deuce Knight jumped in the chat and said, tagged Hayes Fawcett and said, let's work. And if you pay attention to college football recruiting at all, you know that Hayes Fawcett is the big graphics guy that they go to for On3 to do their commitment announcements. So you would assume let's work means, hey, Hayes Fawcett, let's work. And the only work you do with Hayes Fawcett is typically on graphics. So could it be possibly that he's ready to start working on a flip graphic to Auburn? That was something also that got everyone sort of in a fuss. And I think it's definitely noteworthy. He could just be engagement, you know, farming a little bit, getting some, you know, doing stuff to rile the crowds. But I do think, obviously, it's closing in on the end of month, and I think we're getting ready to see, hopefully, that big flip to the Auburn Tigers and joining this class. And then the last thing, dadgummit Tom Loy strikes again. Tom Loy, I don't know where this guy came from, but Tom Loy is the greatest Auburn insider that's ever lived, and he puts out that Deuce has locked in a visit to Auburn for the home opener, which is big. August 31st is the kickoff. Excuse me. August 31st is the kickoff. The first game of the season. That's the end of August, which is what I've been saying all along. Watch for the end of August. He's going to have a game Friday night, and then he will be headed to Auburn probably that Saturday morning, maybe arrive late Friday night. That'd be kind of tough to swing it. That's a pretty good drive from Louisville all the way over to Auburn after a football game, but still he plans to be here. He plans to be with his family, which is a big deal to come in with your family for a visit. And I think there's a key member of the family that plans to be there too, and that's his sister. I think he's really close with, and I think he really wants to impress her with Auburn as well. So a lot of stars are starting to align. And again, if you've been paying attention at all, I've tried my best to tell you not to panic. I've tried my best to tell you not to worry about it. Things are moving in the right direction. And this would seem to be just more evidence of that. I think he wants to come in and see how things go on game day, see how things go, you know, the whole process of game day. And I don't think there's a lot of other recruits scheduled to necessarily be here. So it could be a big time for one-on-one, go ahead and seal the deal. It's not a super high-pressure game, so it's not like it's going to take a lot away, attention away from Hugh or from some of the offensive guys. I think they'll still be able to talk with him, sit with him, you know, love on him, have some time with him. And I would not be shocked if three things happen. Number one, he's committed before he actually gets here. So that wouldn't shock me. That wouldn't shock me if he may commit on that Thursday or Friday. And then when he gets here, it's more of a celebration of his flip. And we'll see if that were to happen. Would not surprise me if he flips actually on game day, and that would catch a lot of headlines. I think the broadcast is actually on one of those either ESPN or ESPN Plus or SEC Network Plus, something like that. So it would definitely garner some headlines during the game. It would definitely get a lot of talk during the game if he were to commit before the game, and then some of the analysts catch wind of it, which I'm sure they will, and they talk about it in game. It's good exposure. And it wouldn't shock me if, like most visits go, he gets home and makes a decision on Sunday or that Monday. That seems to be a big thing. Don't blow it on the actual visit date. Wait till you get home, have your own little announcement and everything like that. So wouldn't shock me if any one of those three things happened. Regardless, it seems like Auburn's moving in the right direction. And barring just some complete disaster, barring some complete meltdown, it does seem like Auburn's moving in the direction to add Deuce Knight to the class. And with the addition of Deuce Knight, just Deuce Knight, I think if you add just Deuce Knight, you'll have the highest rated class almost across the board. You may still need one more from one of the sites, but almost unanimously, the highest rated class, not from a rankings perspective, like where they finish on the rankings, but highest point total across the board from an Auburn class ever, which is what I kind of hinted at towards the middle of August, that I think, you know, after the end of August, Auburn would have its highest ranked class ever as far as point totals go. Okay. I think this class is on track to finish as high as any class ever at Auburn as well. So a lot of good momentum, a lot of good stuff coming out about Deuce Knight. If you got any questions, put it in the comments. But I think things are moving well there. Things are moving in the right direction with Deuce Knight. Speaking of other hulking super teens, let's talk about this 2024 class that's finally, you know, about to start their fall first full season as Auburn Tigers. A lot of them have got a lot of good publicity. We're going to take our time, kind of walk through the list and talk about who's doing well, who's possibly looking for a red shirt, which is not a bad thing, and who's probably going to see a lot of playing time early as a freshman. So I think you've heard a lot of positive things about a lot of the guys, but some of them I think are going to be a little bit further down the depth chart, which isn't a terrible thing, and kind of primed to take over next year or very soon thereafter. So you got to start at the top, Cam Coleman. Don't have to say much. Cam Coleman's your starting wide receiver. Cam Coleman is your best wide receiver. Cam Coleman is your number one wide receiver, going to be your number one big play guy pretty much from game one. Would not shock me if the first play of the year is to go deep to Cam Coleman. I mean, he's that good. He's that he's just every bit of as advertised and more. So Cam Coleman, definitely not a redshirt, going to play a ton. Perry Thompson, I think also will play a fair amount. I don't think he's going to redshirt. I think he's going to get a lot of run. It may take him a little bit longer, but he started to kind of get the hang of it, started to show some flashes as the camp went on. Because remember, he came in June. He did not come in December. So he's a little bit behind the eight ball, but the times that he did get in, he was able to shine, and I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play. He's going to definitely get in the first game, probably have at least, you know, maybe a catch, and then, you know, sort of work his way into becoming, you know, getting more and more snaps as time goes on. Remember, he's going to be kind of backing up the other guy on the outside. So you could have a guy stepping in right after Keandre Lambert-Smith. You got Cam Coleman on the other side. So I still think Perry is going to see a fair amount of playing time. Amaris Williams, definitely not a red shirt. I mean, this guy's almost in the talks of being Keldrick Faulk's backup. He may be Keldrick Faulk's backup on the depth chart. He's 270 pounds already. He's a freak. They're dropping him in coverage. They're sending him. He's doing a little bit of everything. He is way ahead of the game. Very, very mature. Very, very mature already as a true freshman. Definitely not a red shirt. This guy's going to play early and often. Amaris Williams, definitely not a red shirt. DeMarcus Riddick, also not going to be a red shirt. I think this guy, they talked about him a lot in the last scrimmage. They're finding ways to get him on the field to make plays, finding ways to figure out exactly what he's best at, exactly what he can do to accentuate exploit the talents that he has, the speed, the coverage ability, to be able to cover. He can cover some wide receivers. I mean, this guy, and he's big enough to cover tight ends, and he can definitely run with them. He can run with just about anybody. So DeMarcus Riddick, definitely going to be somebody to watch as getting a lot of playing time. Walker White, I think, especially yesterday with the announcement of Hank Brown as the number two quarterback, and we'll dive into the impact of that and why that's so important tomorrow. But Walker White, I think with the emergence of Hank and him raising his ability, raising his ceiling to the number two guy, to be able to really push Peyton, you now have three guys between Peyton, Hank, and Holden that have some level of college football experience, so that if there is an injury, if there is some sort of snag, they can all push each other, and I think you got some options that can at least be serviceable moving forward. So I think, and this is a good thing, I think you get a red shirt out of Walker White. He was already kind of switching to go a little bit more live in scrimmages. That signifies to me maybe looking at some scout team stuff, which is great. That's what Hank did a lot last year, and the starting defense talked about how Hank, you know, kind of lit him up at times from scout team. So Walker White's going to get that chance as well. And you saw that work out for Hank. And I think that could work out well for Walker as well. But I do see possibly a red shirt there. Joseph Phillips, I think this is a situation of depth, but I think Joseph Phillips could possibly be looking at a red shirt. He's going to be 50-50. Not because he's not good, not because he's not talented, but just because you don't have to have him right now. But you can get him a lot of reps on scout team. You can get him a lot of development time where he's not just sitting there waiting on the sidelines, waiting for turns, you know, waiting for turns to get in there. I think he's going to be a really good player. I think he's going to be a very explosive guy. But I just think with the amount of pass rushers you have and the emergence of Amaris Williams, I think you're going to see Joseph Phillips possibly take a red shirt. I'd put him in the 50-50 category. Jamonta Waller, I don't see a red shirt out of this guy. I think he's going to play situationally, but I think he's going to be able to play and help in pass rush situations. I would put him not all the way for sure, not a red shirt. I would put him just a little bit higher than Joseph Phillips as far as not redshirting this year. So Jamont Waller, you heard, I think, I can't remember exactly who it was. Maybe it was DJ Durkin, talked about that he felt like Jamont Waller would be able to help this year in pass rush situations. I think this kid's going to be a very special player. Super long, even though he's a shorter edge, he makes up for it in length. So Jamont Waller is definitely one I think is going to be a little bit closer to not redshirting than actually redshirting. So Jamont Waller is definitely, you're definitely fired up about him. Bryce Kane, I think he's going to be Sam Jackson's backup. If not, take over and be the starter at that small slot position. He's explosive. He's really good. You're not mega deep at wide receiver, so I could easily see Bryce Kane being a factor this year. I could see him getting a lot of time. And if Sam Jackson, you know, he was dinged up early, if that's some sort of a thing with him, I think Bryce could step in right away and probably, even though he's smaller, his speed is so elite that he can make up for it in space, make up for it in the matchups that they get him on. And make some stuff happen. And he's been a proven deep threat. You saw it in a scrimmage. He can do a little bit of it all. So Bryce Kane, I don't think Bryce redshirts. I think he probably gets some pretty good run too. Malcolm Simmons, I think, played his way out of a redshirt. I think Malcolm Simmons was probably one that was a little bit of a wild card. You weren't 1,000% sure how good he was actually going to be. And then Malcolm Simmons comes on the scene late in June and absolutely explodes. I mean, goes nuts, has an unreal first scrimmage. He's been just that guy on the field all over the place. They're moving him everywhere to try to get him the ball, whether it's out of the backfield, in motion, down the field, slip screens, whatever, short, deep, mid-range, whatever. They just want to get this kid the ball. I think he played his way out of a redshirt in fall camp. I think that he's that good. There's no way you can redshirt this kid. You got to figure out a way to get him on the field. Laquan Robinson, he's a JUCO. We're going to skip over him. He's going to play. He's already getting run at linebacker and at safety. He could be one of those hybrid guys. So I don't think, obviously, he's not going to redshirt because he's a JUCO guy. Jalen Crawford. I think he plays this year. I think he gets in the rotation. I don't think he redshirts. I think he's probably your, let's say, if you have three off the bench, I say he's number three. He's probably number three off the bench right now as far as cornerbacks go. So if you got a five deep, I'd say he's number five right now. You got Keontae Scott. You got Kayan Lee. Then you got J.C. Hart. You got Antonio Kite, and I think you got Jalen Crawford. I think that's probably how that depth chart shakes out. He's had a really good fall camp, looks really good. He's physically ready, physically mature at that age already. I think he plays. I think he plays a lot this year. DeAndre Carter, Hugh mentioned him specifically, said he's having a great fall camp, but he still needs time to reshape his body, to get into shape. He's going to be a good one. Next year, this kid's going to be ready to go. I mean, this kid, you lose Jeremiah Wright. You lose potentially a left guard as well, depending on who that ends up being. I mean, I guess basically every option you have at left guard is going to be gone as well. So he's going to have an opportunity to win one of those jobs. Not sure if he's a left guard guy, right guard guy, but I think he takes a red shirt this year, really works on his body, really works on getting in shape. And then next year, he's the guy. Next year, he could take over. He is an absolute stud. I mean, this kid started 4 years at the top high school in the country, one of the top high school football programs in the country. You're not going to be able to keep this kid off the field very long. So DeAndre Carter, definitely one to watch. TJ Lindsey is going to be borderline, and it's because of emergence of guys like Malik Blockton, emergence of guys like Phillip Bleedy. Auburn's not mega deep across the defensive line. He sort of fits that defensive end, defensive tackle role, not that true nose guard, a little bit more of an athletic, can kind of move a little bit all over the line. So I think he's going to be iffy. I think it depends on injuries and it depends on how things shake out, but I could see him stepping into a role a little bit later in the season. But right now, I'm going to put him maybe in the Joseph Phillips camp. That he maybe it just sort of depends on the situation. I would lean towards a red shirt, but he could also see some good some time. He'll get every bit of the four games. I think he'll get every bit of that four game maximum, and then we'll see what happens from there. Really, really good young player, has really come in ready to go from a body standpoint. He looks really good. Amon Lane Gaines having a great fall camp, but I think this guy redshirts. He's coming off of an injury, so he's been in a non-contact injury almost all the whole camp. He's been really good when he's been able to, you know, get out there and go. I think he played early and often in the first scrimmage that we saw. But the defensive backfield is even though we've talked about how it's young, it is deep with talent. And with him coming, you know, he missed most of last year, if not all of last year, with an injury. I could see him redshirting this year. I could see not having to have the need for him this year. I'd put him kind of on the 50-50 deal as well. But I'm kind of keying towards possibly being a redshirt. Malik Blockton, not going to redshirt, going to play a ton. Maybe your starting defensive tackle for during dime set pass rush situations. He's just been a beast. He's been a backfield monster. He's come in physically ready to go. His commitment measurables were 6'3", 255. I think he's closer to the 280 range. He's a big old boy, and he's ready to go. Definitely not going to redshirt. Kinsley Fauston, that would be somebody to watch, as I think he'll probably get some playing time, but I think he could be also in that 50-50 range. He made a big play in the 8A game on the goal line with a tight end. I think he hit Rivaldo, like, hard and stopped a touchdown play on maybe even on fourth down. Maybe it was a fourth down stop. I think Rivaldo kind of caught one in the flat and had a little bit of a head of steam, and Fauston popped him. Remember, he was one of those commitments that kind of came out of nowhere. Early enrollee, got a lot of run. I could see him playing some snaps at nickel, or I'm not really sure exactly what his role would be, but I could definitely see him playing some snaps. I lean towards him not redshirting. I put him a little bit over that 50-50 range as far as red shirt versus getting some good snaps. Seth Wilfred, this guy has four years to play three, I believe. He did go to a junior college, but I think somehow he like sat out his first year. So what would have been his freshman year, I don't think he actually played football. And then he goes to JUCO. Has a really good year, becomes the number one JUCO prospect. And so all you got to have is 2 years removed from high school if you go the JUCO route to be able to pop back into college. So I think he actually has 4 years to play three. So I could see a red shirt here. I don't know. I haven't heard a ton for him from camp. I could see a red shirt from him to continue to sort of get a little bit more acclimated to the speed and get his body in shape, whatever he has to do to kind of get ready to play. I could see Seth Wilford being a red shirt. D'Angelo Barber, stud, absolute stud, but I do think he possibly is a red shirt. Look, you just don't have many linebackers on the field right now, and our linebackers on that depth chart are older and a lot more experienced. I see it kind of tough for him to be able to crack the lineup, but you lose Asante next year. Everything's up for grabs. This guy's a stud. I could see him charging for playing time next year. Favor Edwin, definitely going to be a red shirt. He was one late, a late addition. Very good prospect. Very good looking tackle. Looks like a collegiate tackle already, but I think he still needs some work. He still needs some seasoning. He's not quite ready to go, but he's going to be a good player. Favor Edwin. Caleb Harris, talked about him on the live show. Has had big scrimmages both times. I think he plays. I think he plays early, plays often. He's going to be one that's going to be tough to keep off the field. He's going to keep pushing those guys, especially at safety, keep pushing those guys to get better. Caleb Harris is definitely one that's not going to – I don't think there's any chance he redshirts. And then Towns Magoo, however you say his last name, he's different, man. He's a stud. He is not shaken. He is not – he doesn't get nervous. He's just ready to go, and thank goodness Auburn added him late with the weird situation, the unfortunate situation that's going on with Alex McPherson. But Towns is going to be ready to go. He's not redshirting. He's going to be your starting place kicker. And he's a stud. I saw him hit from 61 in the scrimmage. Now, it was against nothing, and it hit the crossbar, bounced over, but still hit a field goal in warmups from 61 as a true freshman. He's ready to go. That's all. That's all of the guys. Again, I think you're looking at possibly 6 to 7 red shirts out of this class, and, which is crazy. I mean, you got some very, very talented young guys ready to get after it. So I think that's going to be all for today. Get fired up about these freshmen. Get fired up about Deuce Knight coming in for the opener. It's going to give a little bit more electricity around that opener. Get everybody excited for him. Hopefully we got a flip. Hopefully it's before. I'm ready to celebrate. So hopefully he goes ahead and pulls the trigger before, and we're just celebrating all weekend. Guys, you need to check out thebarnauburn.com. Most of the stuff you'd already know if you were a member there. It's only $1 for the first month. It's $9.95 after that. Try it. Just throw $1 down. Give us a chance. I think you'll really like it. We try to cut out the riffraff, kind of try to cut out all the fluff and just give nuggets and have conversation about the football team, about what's going on, basketball, some good basketball scoops going on as well. Great baseball content if you love baseball. It's just all around good time that thebarnauburn.com. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Hit that alarm bell. You never know we're going to go live. Follow me on Twitter at @the_charlie_5, and you know where to find us every single day. We're going to be getting after it every single day from henceforth. So jump on in and let's have some fun. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.